Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to talk about fasting and prayer today as we're starting off the new year, and I want to wish all of you a happy new year, and may you have a blessed year, and may the Lord show you favor this year. And I just want to share with you part of my teaching that has been given to me as a gift over the years, and that is the gift and the grace to fast and to be able to spend time with the Lord and become intimate with the Lord. And I hope you would consider that for yourself, not necessarily for ministry purposes, but just so that you can move forward in the kingdom and just so that you can desire to know the Lord and move into a greater place of intimacy with the Lord and a greater place of dependency on the Lord and communion with the Lord. And so one of the tools that God has given us, and it's certainly a gift that God has given us to come to know Him in a greater measure and to come to seek Him in a greater measure, is the gift of fasting. And I say gift because it takes grace to be able to fast. It takes a certain amount of grace from the Lord and strength from the Lord to be able to fast. And so as you enter into a fast, as you enter into this new year, I pray that you would consider this teaching as something for you personally and something for you to embrace as you move forward in your personal life and maybe in your ministry life as well. And so God has given us the grace to fast. If you would turn in your Bible there to Matthew 9, I'm going to look at verse 14 where Jesus lays the groundwork for fasting. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount where he talks about prayer and fasting, and he talks about hungering for righteousness, the hungering and the blessings for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the blessings for those who are poor in spirit. And as you think about fasting, as you think about denying your flesh, as you think about picking up your cross and carrying it daily, that really is what you're doing. You're denying the flesh. You're crucifying the flesh. Everybody loves to eat. I love to eat. I'm a little bit of a scrawny guy, but I love to eat. And I enjoy a good meal just as much as the next guy. But I have been given the grace and the desire over the years to fast. And so I think if you would just ask the Lord for the grace to do that and the strength to do that, it is His will that you have the grace and the strength to do that, and it's His will that you come into a closer relationship with Him, a more intimate relationship with Him, with Jesus Christ. And so as you participate in this, God has made the way for us to do this so that we can come into a more intimate place with Him. And there's many reasons to fast. There's good health reasons. I'm going to go into the reasons or the blessings that come from fasting in just a little bit, but there's many good reasons to fast. But it's not about manipulating God. It's not about, you know, holding God over a barrel and trying to extract from Him the things that you want. That's not what it's about, although it's okay to pray for the things that are on your heart. It's okay to pray for the things that you want, but it is primarily a way to intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is primarily a way into intimacy with the kingdom of God and for revelation of the things of the kingdom of God. And so I pray that you would look at it that way, that you would seek it in that regard, that you're just wanting to get more intimate with Jesus Christ. You're wanting revelation. You're wanting that intimacy and that close relationship with Jesus. It gives you the peace that passes all understanding, that gives you joy. And the other multiple benefits of fasting would come your way. And I'm going to be talking again about that in just a minute. But first of all, in Matthew 9:14, Jesus lays down the groundwork for the reasons to fast. And he said in verse 14, "Then the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.'" And so Jesus answered them by relating to them about a Jewish wedding And he called himself the bridegroom. He made known to them that he was the bridegroom. And of course, we know in the Bible that the church of God, the bride, is the body of Christ. The believers are the bride. And so Jesus called himself the bridegroom. And he's basically saying there's going to be a wedding someday. And I am going to be the bridegroom. And the body of Christ, you believers, are going to be the bride, and we are going to consummate our marriage someday. Well, we all know that happens in Revelation, the 19th chapter, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But until then, Jesus is the bridegroom awaiting for the bride, and he is going to come back someday to get the bride. He's going to come back when we are least expecting, and when we are least expecting him to come, he's going to come back and he's going to gather up and he's going to receive to himself the bride, that is the body of Christ, the believers, and he will consummate then the wedding with himself and the bride in the marriage supper of the Lamb. But he says, just as in a wedding, when the friends of the bridegroom are with the bridegroom, there's great celebration, there's great partying, there's dancing and there's feasting and there's hand clapping and there's all this celebration. And he says, when the friends of the bridegroom are with the bridegroom, there's no fasting, there's no mourning, there's joy, there's celebration. And so he said, that's the reason my disciples don't fast, is that they are with the bridegroom and they are my friends. But Jesus said, there will be a time coming when the bridegroom is taken away, and he says, at that time, then they will fast. Well, we know Jesus was taken away. He was crucified. He was resurrected on the third day. He told the disciples in John 14:1, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And then he said, I'm going to come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And so Jesus said, you can get ready, you can get prepared, this is going to happen, I'm going to come for my church, I'm going to come for my bride. And he said, but in the meantime, the bridegroom goes away, and he prepares a place for his bride. And in a Jewish wedding in modern day, well, even in ancient day, in Jewish wedding, there was a betrothal ceremony or a betrothal contract where the bride and groom would sit down with each other and make a promise or a betrothal contract. And then the bridegroom would go away to his father's house, and he would build another room onto the house. He would construct another room or maybe two rooms onto the house where he and the bride would come back to live when it was time to consummate the marriage. And so the father would say, after the room was built or after the preparations were made, the father would say, go now and get your bride. And so the bridegroom and his friends would go, and they would go in the middle of the night, and they would take their lanterns along the pathway, and they would snatch the bride out of her house, and he would carry her back or take her back to the father's house, and then they would consummate the marriage. And so the picture of the Jewish wedding is exactly what has been enacted out and what Jesus is illustrating here when he says the bridegroom will be taken away from them, but then disciples will fast. Well, in Isaiah 58, if you have your Bible there, turn it over to Isaiah 58, and we're going to look at some of the reasons for fasting, and some of the good reasons are in Isaiah 58, verse 6. Isaiah says, these are the right reasons. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, this is the right reasons. This is the fast that I have chosen. And before that, prior to that, in verse 4, he said, you guys fast, but you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it for strife and debate and to strike your servants with the fist of wickedness. But he says in verse 6, he says, this is the fast that I choose, and these are the good reasons for you to fast. And then he goes into those reasons, and the reasons are, first of all, in verse 6, he says, to loose the bonds of wickedness. And then he says, to undo the heavy burdens. And then he says, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Well, this is just a little mini sermon that was repeated in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. But let me tell you, brethren, when you fast, you get close to the Lord, and He breaks off the yoke of wickedness. He breaks off the yoke of the devil. He takes the oppression and the burden off of you. You'll start to see that all the anxiety that you have been carrying, you'll start to feel that anxiety, and God will take that off of you. He'll release that off of you. You'll start to feel the bonds of wickedness, because you're going to come face to face with the devil and face to face with the things that the demons have controlled you, and you're going to cry out to the Lord, you're going to seek the Lord, and the Lord is just one by one going to break every chain off of you. And so that is the blessing of fasting, is that you get released from all of these things that are oppressing you. You get released from all of these burdens that you're carrying. You start to see your life in perspective in relationship to God Almighty, and also in relationship to the demonic kingdom, and the way the devil wants to entrap you and captivate you and hold you in prison. And as you cry out to the Lord in fasting, as you spend time in prayer, as you spend time on your knees, as you spend time in the Word, as you cry out to the Lord, He will answer you. He will break off every chain. He will break off all of the yokes. And again, Jesus spoke these words in Luke 4, as stood up in the temple, and He said these words of Isaiah in Isaiah 61. He said, "These words have been fulfilled in your hearing this day." And the words that He spoke were these: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." Well, what beautiful words they are, but they're not just words, they're promises from God, promises for you. And when you fast, when you pray, when you spend time with the Lord, and when you become intimate with the Lord, those promises become yours, because the Spirit of God is within you. Those promises that you will preach good tidings, and that you will receive liberty from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that if you are bound in addictions, or you're bound in behaviors that are not conducive to good health or to good walking with the Lord, that God is going to release you. He'll break those yokes. He'll break those bonds of wickedness, and He'll proclaim this the acceptable year of the Lord. And I believe now, as we enter into 2015, I believe that God is going to bring great favor into your life. I believe this year is going to be a great year for you. I believe God is going to power you to move forward through the Holy Spirit, to move forward in your life into blessings and favor and abundance like you've never known it before. And I believe as you fast and pray for God, He's going to give you clarity, not only for your personal life. He will give you clarity for your family. He'll give you blessings and favor for your family. And as you intercede, as you become an intercessor for your children, for your grandchildren, God is going to hear your prayer, and He will show favor to your family, and He's going to break every chain off of your family, as well as He will for you. And the Lord says He's going to bind up the brokenhearted, and I believe if you are heavy with heart today, if you have a crushed heart or a broken heart, maybe from divorce or shattered relationships, maybe there's people in your family that won't speak to you or you don't have a good relationship with, God says He's going to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. I came to bind up the brokenhearted. And so I believe God has something for you this year. I believe God has favor for you this year. And if you cry out to the Lord, if you seek His face, God will reveal that to you, and He will strengthen you to walk with Him and show you the favor that you have coming your way. Well, if we go on to Isaiah 58:7. There's other things here, other benefits, good reasons to fast. And the Lord says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you can bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh. And what he's saying, this could be interpreted to be a social gospel. It's also a corollary to what Jesus spoke in Matthew 25, starting in verse 33. He said, when you've done it to the least of these of mine, you've also done it unto me. And he named six groups of people there that he wants us to minister to. He named six groups of people there that he wants us to reach out to. And he said, reach out to the hungry and give them food, and reach out to the thirsty and give them drink, and reach out to those who have no clothing and give them clothing to cover themselves, and reach out to the alien, that stranger who is in your midst, and take them into your house. Jesus said that when you entertain a stranger, sometimes you entertain an angel and don't even know it. Or so when you take in a stranger into your house, sometimes you're entertaining an angel and you don't even know it. And so we're prescribed to take in the alien in our midst. And then we're also to visit those in the prisons, those who are in prison. We're to go in and visit them because it's very lonely in there. It's very depressing. Many of those inmates don't get any visits from their family and are cut off from their families. And so God calls us to go in and visit the inmates. It's not a special calling for special people. He calls all of us as Christians to do it. And then also he says to visit those who are sick in the hospitals and in their homes. Maybe you know somebody right now who is in their home and is sick, and God is just saying, come and go and visit them, and maybe take some food to them or take some kind of a gift to them and just bless them in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord says there's these other reasons to fast, is that you share your bread with the hungry. Well, how can that be that you share your bread with the hungry? Well, when you're not eating, somebody else is getting that food. And so people that are living on the street that don't have food to eat, they're going to be receiving the bread that you might have been eating. And then you bring into your house the poor, that's take the alien in among you. And then when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, your brother who is in need, you reach out to that brother and you extend to that brother the hand of Christian fellowship, the hand of blessing, and the hand of saying, it could be me that's in that situation. I could have lost my job, or I could have lost my marriage, or I could have lost my health. And when you see those situations where other people are hurting and they're needing help and they're needing the blessings of the Lord, well, you may be the one who is to take that blessing to them. And then in Isaiah 58:8, the Lord goes on to say, this will be the result of your fast in a personal way. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And so there's four things I think we can all strive for. There's four things I think we can all say that this would be a tremendous blessing for my life, that this would be a great blessing for me to receive these things. And I'm going to repeat them again because they're just so glorious. And if you think about what God has for you, he wants to bless you. He wants to show you favor. He wants to make this a favorable year of the Lord. But you have to do your part. You have to seek him. You have to cry out to him. And these four things, again, are, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Brethren, you're going to get protected. Your righteousness, that is your right standing before God, is going to go before you. It's going to precede you on the path because God has ordained your steps. He already knows the steps that he wants you to take. And so as you come into right standing with him, you're going to step right into those footsteps that he has ordained you to take. And then the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You don't have to keep looking back to see if anybody's following you. You don't have to look back in paranoia or wonder if somebody is out to get you. The Lord says that those that seek Him and those that are in step with the Lord, even their enemies will be at peace with them. And so you can be assured that your enemies are going to be at peace with you, and you're not going to be in strife and contention with your family or with friends. And so the glory of the Lord, He is going to protect you just as He protected the children of Israel as they walked through the wilderness. He is going to protect you, and He is going to be your rear guard. And Isaiah 58:9, I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture. This is a very, very powerful passage of Scripture, Isaiah 58:9. And it says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, Here I am." Well, there it is in a nutshell. There it is, the encapsulated reason to fast. It says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and He will say, Here I am." Well, don't we all want to see the Lord? Don't we all want to talk to the Lord in an intimate way? Don't we all want to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Don't we all want increased revelation about Jesus Christ, who He is, and God the Father, Jehovah God, and the Holy Spirit? I don't know any Christian or any person really on the earth who doesn't want to know more about the Lord. There are people who are very confused about God, but even they are seeking God. Even atheists couch their relationship to God to define their own spirituality. And so everybody, you know, in their own way seeks God. But as you seek the Lord, as you seek Jesus Christ, He will reveal Himself to you. He will say, "Here I am." And you will have increased revelation, and you will have increased blessings and favor because the Lord wants to bless you this day. Well, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. I'm convinced of that. If you're not, why, you need to get down on your knees and do some praying, and you need to ask the Lord, "Just reveal yourself to me," and He will show Himself mighty to save. He will show Himself mighty to save you. Just as He saved me and He reached down and He picked me up out of the miry clay, He will do the same for you. And I just pray that you stay on your knees for a while here in the days and weeks to come, that you do some fasting, that you crucify your flesh and you set aside your worldly desires and you say, "Lord Jesus, show Yourself mighty to me. Show Yourself." Or if you're a mature Christian, you just say, "Lord, show me what You want me to do. Lord, You show me where You want me to go. You open the doors for me that I can walk through them, that I can bless Your kingdom, that I can bless You through the works that I do here on this earth." And as you cry out to the Lord, He will say, "Here I am," and He will be there for you. Well, I thank you for listening today. I thank you for your contributions and your prayer support in keeping this broadcast on the air, and we just look forward in the coming year to bringing you some great messages and to ministering the word of the Lord to you through this radio broadcast. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.